the human race, you know, over thousands of years has grown further and further and further away from God. Sure. And when God first created the human species, the planet was inhabited, the human race inhabited the planet in the form of tribes. And these tribes all lived communally, and they lived with one common vision, one common love, and their lives were all consecrated to the earth. They didn't have religion. They just, the earth was their God, because the earth fed them, protected them, cared for them, and they, their whole experience of God was through the earth. And over time, that got chewed up and bastardized and destroyed, and people got away, 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 away. And even to the point where the tribal societies were then being destroyed as well. They were trying to maintain as best they could. And then when the race had grown and so deep into separation, it then set out to start destroying all the Aboriginal people all over the world. This country's not the only one, as you know. So if I could, you know, use a bit of a cliche phrase, the return to connectedness to the divine and the return to love, if you will, is best and most facilitated through the earth, because that's how it was created. So people are now having to find their way back to their roots, their origin, and their divine origin through the earth, because the earth, you know, we have four kingdoms, and you could expand on that as well, but for the four primary kingdoms, the human race is considered, you know, the top of the food chain, the most evolved, but it's the only one of the kingdoms that lives disconnected from source, by and large. And so to reconnect to source, we reconnect to the earth. So there, the return to God is being helped and facilitated and accelerated and exacerbated by going into nature where God lives. Nature lives in perfect harmony with all divine laws. It's only man who doesn't. So by being in nature, we re-acclimate ourselves and re-associate ourselves with all the universal laws of cause and effect, all the harmony and all the divine truths, and then we re-doctrinate ourselves. Now, there's a second aspect which is actually coercing that, and that is the devolution of society has gone so far and so corrupt that now our water supply and our air supply and our food supply has not only been tainted, but is very rapidly being destroyed and even worse, being taken from us. The polluting and chemicalization of our food supply, which most people have no say in anymore. I mean, there are some people who insist on buying organic or biodynamic, etc. You know, but they're the very, very small numbers. Of course, it's growing rapidly. But for people who just go to the store and buy food, they're buying poison, and they're poisoning their bodies and poisoning their children, and the earth is being poisoned, growing it. And so people, some people who are having spiritual awakenings are being forced to go organic, but even that is threatened. Now with bioengineering and the genetic modification of food, which is infiltrating the world in a way that people can't even conceive of. In fact, if you haven't seen the film The Future of Food, it does a whole expose on the whole GMO movement. It's probably the scariest horror film I've ever seen. And it shows how, I'll put loose quotes around it, how powerless people are appearing, seemingly, to stop it. In the U.S., for example, the three biggest chemical companies have bought all the seed companies in the U.S., and they're now converting them to GM, and they're trying to infiltrate the organic market now. They're having some success. It's holding its own, but there's a great, great danger here. And it's interesting, not just in my life and ministry, but if you went back, even over the last 100 years, masters have been saying for over 100 years, you know, the day will come when you're going to need to grow your own food. I in no way mean to imply scare tactics or fear, because I don't live in fear and I don't want anyone else to either. There's nothing to be afraid of. But there is something to be responsible for. You know, if there's a window of time where our choice is being taken away from us while Earth, the human race, is awakening and finding its way, there's an interim period and we need to be responsible. If you want to not pollute your body, I particularly don't care to eat genetically modified food, much less chemicalized food. There are forces in society, in modern society, that are coercing man to go into nature and rediscover it, honor it, consecrate his, her life unto it, and then enter that the divine union, the divine marriage, by marrying the earth. So these two forces and factors, the reawakening and return to love and being coerced by the dark forces in society, are steering us back into the earth. But I do want to emphasize that there really is nothing to be afraid of. It's obviously everybody can't move into nature, and it's not everybody's dharma to move into nature. What everyone needs to do is be listening, where does God need me in any given moment? You know, there's a really interesting thing in the New Age movement that's one of my pet peeves, where everybody wants to, you know, open a healing center, you know, on some tropical island, or go out in nature and open a healing center. And then I say, well, that's all well and good if that's what God's asking of you. But if everybody were to go open a healing center, who's going to man the hospitals and sweep the streets and cut the trees and water the lawns and feed the children and operate the schools and run the cafeterias and restaurants? I mean, it's really about, where does God need me? I know, you know, from the divine revelations that have been shown to me and that move me and speak me and breathe me, I've come into the world to teach people, to help people reconsecrate their lives to God above and God as the earth, and realize that that is our lifeline. I mean, granted, you know, our souls only need unconditional love to sustain eternal life, but our bodies do need clean air, food, and water. And there's very little of that available in urbanized areas, and it's becoming exponentially less and less and less at the speed of light. So movements of people going into nature and setting up communities, movements of people insisting on buying organic, growing organic, sourcing organic by saying, I'll only buy it, I'll only go to organic restaurants, I'll only teach about it and have it in my home. You know, this is what creates that force of the people saying, you know, wait a minute, something's got to change here. So there are many ways to go about it.